Okay, so if you remember, we left off yesterday, really in the middle of a discussion, right? The opinion of Rabbi Eliezer that not only that's mentioned in the Mishnah, which admittedly we didn't have an Amoraim saying he changed his mind, but the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer that is mentioned in the Mishnah that not only are you obligated to eat 14 meals in a sukkah, you're obligated to eat 14 meals in your sukkah, in the same sukkah the whole time. So, right at the bottom of Chafzayin Amud Aleph, moving into Chafzayin Amud Beis, Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Ein yotze in mi sukkah lo sukkah vein oisin sukkah bechol shamoed. You can't leave a sukkah during your chag, and you cannot make a new sukkah on Chol Hamoed. Meaning, if you did not sit in a sukkah on the first Yom Tov, right? If you did not sit in a if on Yom Tov Rishon Shel Sukkah, you did not have a sukkah to live in, you've lost the mitzvah in its entirety, right? You cannot then build a sukkah in Chol Hamoed to get the rest of it. Chacham say no. You can move from one sukkah to another. There is no problem with having one meal in this sukkah, another meal in that sukkah, sleeping in this sukkah and sleeping in that sukkah. And similarly, you can certainly build a sukkah in Chol Hamoed if you need to. Veshavin, and they agree. Shim nafla shechoz ravina bechol Hamoed. But they agree that if your sukkah collapsed at some stage during Chol Hamoed, then already you can build it. You can rebuild it. That even Rabbi Eliezer will agree to. Even he will agree that if your sukkah collapsed after the first Yom Tov, that you can in fact build a new sukkah. That you can in fact build a new sukkah. The obvious reason for Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. Let's finish with the Gemara discussion, then we'll talk about it. My time at the Rabbi Eliezer, Amar Kra, Chagas Kois Ta'asel Chashivat Yamim, Asas Kois, Hasukah Ra'uya L'Shiva. Rabbi Eliezer says, when the Pasuk says, Chagas Kois Ta'asel Lecha Shivat Yamim, you should make for yourself a Chagas Kois, a festival of Sukkos for, or a Korban Sukkos, right, whatever. We discussed the meaning of the word Chag, Shivat Yamim, for 7 days. It means that it should be suitable to be used for 7 days. Right, that's what it means. V'rabbanan, hachikam, rachamana, sesukha bechag. Rabbanan say, no, it doesn't mean that. That's too complicated. It means, during sukkahs, build a sukkah. Like, for sukkahs. For the purpose of sukkahs, build a sukkah. That's all. V'shavin, sheim nafla, shechayz rabbeinu, yisar bechal shamoed. But then they agree that if the sukkah collapsed, you can rebuild it. Pshita, that's obvious. Even Rabbi Lezer, the Gemara says it's obvious. Mahu desema, what do you have thought? Hi! Acharisihi ve'ena l'shiva kamashmon. You would have thought that the fact that you're rebuilding a sukkah means that it is in fact a new sukkah. It's not the old sukkah rebuilt. It's a new sukkah. Parenthetically, this has tremendous nafkaminas. There are buildings which maintain their status even if they are brought to a new purpose or if they collapse. For example, a shul remains a shul even after it collapses. So the question is, this is a good raya that this is true for sukkahs as well. This sukkah remains the same sukkah even after it has collapsed. Tanya, we have a brisa. Rabbi Eliezer, Emer, Shem, Adam Shein Adam Yoitzi, Yedei Chavasa, B'yom Tev, Arishon, Shel Chag, B'lova, Shel Chaber, Dechsivu, Kachtem, B'lachem, B'yom Arishon, Pri Etz Hadar, Kapois, Tvarim, Mishelachem, Chachin, Adam Yoitzi, Adam Yoitzi, Yedei Chavasa, Okay, so we have a braisa that says, on a similar vein, right, just like on the first Yom Tov of Sukkot, when Lulav is Doraisa, the rest of Sukkot is only Darabon and Zechar LaMikdash, because in the Mikdash they would wave Lulav all 7 days, but on the first day, it is Doraisa even Bizman Azeh, right, so you should, Al Kachtem Lachem, you should take for yourselves from your own, B'yom Rishon, the first day, Priya Sadai, Chabes Torahim. It's a voice of Arvi Nachal, right? Mishalchem, from yours. So too, you cannot fulfill the obligation on the first day on Sukkot with the sukkah that belongs to someone else. It must be yours because the pasuk says, Chagas Kois Ta'aseh Lecha Shivat Yamim. If you remember, we discussed this earlier. In the first perek, this Pasuk was used to say that the sukkah might need to be built lishma. It doesn't need to be built lishma. Remember, we discussed this. has to be suitable for years, things like that, right? Okay. Even though it's true, you need to own your lulav on the first day, and you really cannot be yotzei on the first day with somebody else's lulav. And in the event that you find yourself without a lulav, so you should have them give it to you. You should really have them give it to you, like, totally as a gift, on the first day. We'll discuss that when we get to the sukkah, but yeah. So too, right? But on sukkahs, it said the pasuk says, "Kol ha'yisrach Yisrael yeshu b'sukkos." Right, all the people of Israel will live in sukkos, in these sukkahs, right? But it is spelled sukkas. It's not spelled sukkos. It's sukkos. It spells kasser. Therefore, Milamed, this teaches us that they can own, that all the Jews can be yotzei with one big sukkah. If all the Jews can be yotzei with one big sukkah, the implication is that you don't need to own your sukkah. V'rabbanan ha'ilecha meidar shibei. What do Rabbanan use this pasuk of lecha for? If they're not saying you have to own it. Mibayle lemutik zula val she'ula k'siv kol ezrach. That, if you remember, we've already talked about this, they use that to tell us that you don't, that the sukkah cannot be stolen, right? Right? It cannot be taken without the rishus, without the permission of the person who owns it. But if it was taken with their permission, she'ula, they lent it to you, that's fine. And the pasuk of Kol Ezrach comes to teach us that you can in fact use it. Rabbi Eliezer says, "Hi, Kol Ezrach, my Avidle. What does Rabbi Eliezer do this with this pasuk? Kol Ezrach b'Yisrael yeshu b'sukkos. Mi ba'ilei leger shenisgar b'tayim v'katan shenisgal b'tayim." Rabbi Eliezer says that no. Remember, we said that Rabbi Eliezer says you have to eat 14 meals in the sukkah, and if you don't use the sukkah on the first yom tov, you then can never use the sukkah for the rest of. If you don't have a sukkah on the first yom tov, you can't use the sukkah for the rest of Chag. What about somebody who couldn't have had a sukkah? He was a katan, right? He couldn't have built a sukkah that he was chayav in because he's a katan. He's not chayav in mitzvahs. Or a ger, right? If somebody was miskayer, if somebody converted Judaism in the middle of sukkahs, does that mean they don't fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah that time and they have to wait until next year? No! In that case, there is a part, that's an exception. That pasuk Kol Ezrach b'Yisrael gara yeshu b'sukkah comes to teach us that exception. These people who physically could not complete the mitzvah before the first year, for the entirety of Sukkot, because they literally had no ability to do so on account of not being chayiv, they can start fulfilling the mitzvah in the middle. V'Rabbanan, Kevin Sham Reis in Sukkah B'chol Shamoed, Lo Yisterikra. Rabbanan say, since we have a limud that you can build a sukkah in Cholamoed, remember we said the fact that it says Chalas Chris Hashel Tzel Chashivat Yemin doesn't mean that it has to be a sukkah for all 7 days. It has to be a sukkah for Sukkot. That's what it means, right? So if we can build a sukkah in Chol Moed, then obviously these people can fulfill the mitzvah of sukkahs. There's no shaila, and you don't need a limud to prove that. It's just obvious. Okay, let's continue in the Gemara. I'm sorry, by the way, apparently, before we continue, on the question of all of the Jews living in Sukkah, Rashi asked the question, why is it they couldn't all own sukkah together? They could all have a shukvus. The answer that he gives is because no sukkah is worth so much that all the Jews could all have a shavei pruta in the sukkah. If they have less than shavei pruta, they don't own the sukkah, and they're not a shutaf in the sukkah, they don't own anything. Right? Therefore, the idea is, this teaches us an interesting din, which is that if you own something with somebody else, each of you must individually be able to claim a shavei pruta, right? A minimal amount of monetary value in that object. If you cannot, then in fact you don't own anything at all. You are not a shutaf. Some achronim ask, but wait, what about? What about if you have a? What about Korban and Sibra? Korban and Sibra are presumably owned by all the Jewish people because they are brought on behalf of all the Jewish people, and surely the same thing would be true. No animal is worth so much that every Jew could have a shavah protein the animal. So, I don't want to get into the subject now, just important to know that this does have much broader ramifications. The Rav Zichron of Racha explained it differently. He said that a Korban Sibur isn't owned by, in Shutfus, isn't owned as a with a shared portion going to every single Jew. It's owned by the Jews as a collective body, like as a corporate entity. And that's why we don't have to worry about each Jew having a Shavah Prota in them. Okay, also, parenthetically, this Mara about Rabbi Eliezer, it's true, we do not pass him like the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, but it does have a very, very important nafka min ul ha'maisa. The Ksav Sofer used this opinion of Rabbi Eliezer that a katan shed who became bar mitzvah during Sukkot, or a ger who converted during Sukkot, can fulfill the mitzvah d'oraisa sukkah, to prove that they can also fulfill the mitzvah d'oraisa derabanan, bisman said d'oraisa derabanan, machlekes harishonim, right, of Sfiras HaOmer, even though they haven't counted up until that point, effectively, because they were not obligated, even so, they can continue counting right from that point on, because it's like them becoming older in the middle of Sukkot. Now, we don't pass him like that opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, but maybe we can use it for here. So, let's continue. Tanu Rabbanan, the pasuk says, "Ma'izir aliyim Rabbi Elijah halacha hakum ne Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi belud beregel." Rabbi Eli, there was a story about Rabbi Eli who went to see Rabbi Eliezer, his Rebbe, in the regel. Remember, there is a mitzvah to see your Rebbe during the regel. Admittedly, we talked about the opinion, no to be heard that there is no such mitzvah as one there, but pashas for passing, there is such a mitzvah as one there. So, Rabbi Eli went to see his Rebbe, Rabbi Eliezer, during Sukkot. Amar lo Eli, encha meshubasi. Einach mishuv say meharegel. Einach mishuv say haregel. Excuse me. You are not one of the people who keep sukkahs. Right? Shehaya Rabbi Eliezer emir meshabeach ani esa aslanin shein yotz in mebatehen baregel dichsiv esamachta atah uvisecha. Because Rabbi Eliezer had a shita. He said, I praise those lazy people who never leave their house during the regel. Never at all. Right? Because the pasuk says you should be happy with your family, with your house. That means don't leave them. Stay with them during the regel. Ini, is that really true? Ve'ha'amar Rabbi Yitzchak minayin she'adam she'chayev adam le'hachim pnei chaver Rabbi regel she'nemar madua at halechas hayo elav hayoim le'chodesh ve'lo shabbas mikol de'v'chodesh shabbas mikhayev inish le'hakbuli p'nape Rabbi. So, is that really possible? Didn't Rabbi Yitzchak say that how do we know that there is an obligation to go see your Rebbe during the regel? Right? How do we know? Because the pasuk says, why are you going to see him today? It's not Rosh Chodesh. It's not Shabbos. Why are you going to see him today? Right? Who was it said to? It was said to the Isha Hashunam is going to see, excuse me, Elisha, right? The Isha HaShunamis was going to see Elisha, and her husband asked her, why are you going to see him today? It's not Shabbos. It's not Rosh Chodesh. Why are you going to see him? Right? So here and here we learn that there is a mitzvah to go see your Rebbe during the regel. No. This is an odd limud. Obviously, there is no mention in this pasuk of a regel. There's a mention of Rosh Chodesh. There's a mention of Shabbos. There's no mention of the regel. So I assume what it means is that you're meant to go see your Rebbe when you've got time. It happens to be that the regel people often leave their houses, like, there's time. Right? On Shabbos, there's time. You have time off. And Rosh Chodesh, women take time off. Right? There is, the Shulchan Aruch brings down such a minhag, it's not so common today, but it was common once upon a time that women would take time off during Rosh Chodesh. They wouldn't do malacha on Rosh Chodesh because, I'm not going to go into read Sivai, not Gemara Megillah, right? They didn't worship the eagle, and therefore they got rest on Rosh Chodesh. Anyway, so, fine, but in principle, there is a mitzvah to go see your Rebbe during the regel. Loi kasha, so no, that's not a problem. Ha, de'azil asi b'yomi, ha de'azil v'loi asi b'yomi. Basically, the distinction is as follows. Did he in fact come back? Did he return? Right. If he went to see his Rebbe in such a way that he couldn't get back to his own sukkah during the day, or to his house during the day, then that's no good. If he went to see his Rebbe and came straight back home and he had time to do it all in one day, that's fine. Right? That's not a problem. You're not meant to leave your house for so long during the regel, but you are allowed to leave your house a little bit, even according to Rabbi Eliezer. Tana Rabban, the Bryce says, Maise Barabi Eliezer Shashavas Begalil Yen Bitsakos Shal Yoichanan Barabi Eli Bekisari Baramri La Bekisarin. Vehigia Chama Lasuka. So, there was a story. Rabbi Eliezer was keeping sukkahs in Yoichanan, in the sukkah of Yoichanan, Berabi Eli, and that was in Kesari, or maybe it was in Kesarin, Kesarion, whatever, a city in the Galil. And a lot of sunlight reached this, and a lot of sunlight reached the sukkah. Amar Loi Mausha Froisha Leia Sadin. So what can I put a sheet over the top of the sukkah to shade us in the sukkah? Amar Loi Ein Lecha Kol Shevet Veshevet Mi Yisrael Sheloi He'emid Mimenu Shoyf Sheloi He'emid Mimenu Shoyf Sheloi Yetzam Mimenu Nevim Shevet Yehuda Vinyana He'emidu Melachim Alpi Nevim. There is no shevet in all the Jews that didn't create a shevet, that didn't choose judges for themselves. Choosing judges is a very important thing. If you're wondering why is Rabbi Eliezer answering a question about sukkah with a statement about judges, so Rashi says that basically he didn't want to put a sheet over the top of the sukkah because he didn't want to parcel the sukkah. But he also didn't want to tell the person off because Nebuchadnezzar feels bad, it's embarrassing, whatever. So he just started talking about something else in the hope that he'd drop it. Basically. So he gila chasiya sukkah. The sun kept rising and now it's the half the sukkah is in sunlight. It's very hot. Amar loy, ma'ofer shefroisa leya sadin. Can I put a sheet over the top of the sukkah? Over the top of the sukkah. Amar loy responded, Ein lechakal shevet shevet Yisrael shele yatsam min nevim shevet Yehuda v'nyamin he'emidu melachim al pi nevim. Right? There is no tribe in all of Israel that didn't put out nevim. And Shevet Yehuda and Binyamin, they made kings based on the instructions of the Nevi'im. He agia chama lemargaloisav shel Rabbi Eliezer. The sun reached the heels of Rabbi Eliezer. It reached him. Not tell Yochanan. Sadin apiris alav. Yochanan just took a shade and put it on the top of the sukkah. He stopped asking. Hifshil Rabbi Eliezer talisoy leachorov veyotza. And Rabbi Eliezer immediately he put on his talis, he put on his cloak, and he left the sukkah. No, loy mipnei sheifligu bedvarim. Ela mipnei sheli amar davar sheli shama mirabai me'olam. Why is it that Rabbi Eliezer did this? So what does that mean? The Gemara is explaining, why did Rabbi Eliezer do this? Why did Rabbi Eliezer immediately leave the sukkah? It's not because he didn't want to tell him, per se, that putting a sheet over the sukkah in such a circumstance is asur. It's because Rabbi Eliezer hadn't been told by his Rebbeim that putting a sheet over the sukkah in that specific circumstance was asur. He'd been told, obviously, about the Dinah Mitzvah, but he hadn't been told about this particular circumstance. And Rabbi Eliezer never said a single thing in Torah, says the Gemara, unless his Rebbeim had told him. So once it was done, he could, on the one hand, he couldn't really say it's asur, as he wasn't sure it was asur. Maybe it is mutter, right? It's very uncomfortable. On the other hand, he also couldn't be matur it, because he was never matur a single thing without being told by his Rebbeim that it was mutter. Therefore, he was forced to leave the sukkah so that he wouldn't look like he was matir putting a sheet over the top of the sukkah. Heichi avid hachi, how is this even possible? V'ha'amar Rabbi Eliezer en yotzei misukkah l'sukkah. Rabbi Eliezer holds that you can't go from one sukkah to another. If you're in one sukkah, you're in that sukkah for the entirety of Hag. So it says, Ra regel acher havai. So then, that grant says, no, it wasn't really sukkahs, it was shvuas. Right, they were only sitting in the sukkah because the sukkah's a nice place to sit when it's sunny. Like, it's a nice place to sit when it's hot. You know, it gets windy, right? V'ha'amar Rabbi Eliezer. Right, and didn't Rabbi Eliezer say, Meshabeach ani es ha'atzlanim, she'en yotz en min batayim baregel? Didn't Rabbi Eliezer say, you don't, I praise those people who never leave their houses during regel? He lived in Lod. What was he doing in Kesarin during Shavuos? The answer is, no, Shabbos, it wasn't really Shavuos, it was Shabbos. Shabbos, you can be outside of your house. The Sifshut Le Mi did, and you know, the reason why he didn't want to be, it wasn't that he was saying the Sukkah's Pasul right now. Obviously, there's no problem with Pasul Sukkah if it's not Sukkah's. But since he'd been asked a question about Sukkah's, so now he can't be Matir. Vesifshut Le Mi Didei Disnan Pakak Hacha Loin Rabbi Eliezer remembers Manche Kashur Vesalui Poikin Boy Vim Lav Ein Poikin Boy Chamim Rim Bein Kach U Bein Kach Poikin. Shouldn't Rabbi Eliezer have answered the question based on something that he, you know, in fact had been told, right? That he should not learn, that he should not, that you should not put the sheet on the sukkah. Why? Because it says there is a halacha that you can, you, if you've got a window which you want to block on Shabbos, you want to block it with something. So you can block it, I'm not going into details now, but you can block it with something which was hanging there right from before Shabbos. It was hanging on a string from the window before Shabbos. You can then put it into the window to block the wind. Right? And Chamim say, but if you can't, but if it wasn't hanging, then you can't do that. That's Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. Chamim say it makes no difference. You can put stuff in a window to block the wind. Right? It makes no difference whatsoever. Rabbi Eliezer is holding that if you put something that wasn't already hanging, then maybe it looks like you're building. Right? Maybe it looks like you're building something. You're adding to the house. You're adding to the building. And that's obviously Asar and Shabbos. It's a Gzeira, Darabon, no likelihood. Gzeira, Shema, people will think that you're building. So it says, Hasam hu de mevatel. When you put something in the window to block the wind or to block the window, right, to block up the window, to prevent anything from coming in, then you're really, at some level, actually mechavin to make a part of the house, right? When you put a sheet over the top of the sukkah, you're really not. You're not at all mechavin to make a part of the sukkah. On the contrary, you're planning to take it off very soon because you don't want your sukkah to be possible. It's just right now you're uncomfortable, so you put it on for a short amount of time. Okay.